whiskey into a plastic cup. Like a fucking
classy
a train bum.
Old stew bum.
You're listening to the Cut Print Film Podcast on
More Like Radio.
We live in a cynical world. A cynical world. And we work in a business of tough competitors. I love you. You complete me. And I just had...
Shut up. Just shut up. You had me at hello.
What? Ain't no country I ever heard of. On episode 14 of the Cut Print Film Podcast, here are your hosts, Jeff, Dave, and Chris.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast, episode 14. My name is Jeff Rollins, and who are you?
I'm Dave Costell.
All right.
Well, that's my Jimmy Stewart.
That was excellent.
Oh, I'm Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. You guys thought it was Jimmy Stewart.
I guess I should do a last name because everyone else did one. My name is Chris Evangelista.
Nice.
It's Lista, not Lista. When people say Lista, I get furious.
I say Alista.
Please don't. I'm going to punch you in the face.
I didn't know you had a last name. I thought you were more like Cher.
Christian Evangelista. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Are we just going to riff on this, or?
Yeah, we're going to riff. The whole show's about my name this week.
Because you're a Christian evangelist.
Get out of here. One of these days, Dave.
What are we? Yeah, what kind of podcast is this?
A movie podcast about movies.
And where can you find all our good stuff about movies?
www.cutprintfilm.com.
I think you forgot a W.
www. That's not going to work.
Nope. Grandpa just did that.
Try it.
I don't think you even need the www anymore.
You can just go to cutprintfilm.com and find all that good content.
Actually, do this. Google Cut Print Film. Find our website. Click on it.
That's right.
Go to it that way. Yeah.
And, hey, if you're listening on iTunes, why not go ahead and give us a nice review?
Oh, my God. Please do.
Yeah, please.
Or one star, you know.
No, don't do that. Don't do the one star. That's mean and unnecessary.
I'll take it at this point. I'll take what we can get. One star is fine.
Maybe right. Jeff from Amazon will review us and give us one star.
Well, that would be bad, though.
Yeah.
All right.
So we saw
some movies.
Yeah, you saw some movies this week?
We did. We had a day off. Yes, day off because of the holiday. But before the day off, I saw X-Men Days of Future Past.
Which I still declare the worst film name of all time.
Really? Of all time?
Hmm.
Well, of the future past.
I think Geely might be a bad...
Yeah, Geely's
like
pretty,
Giggly.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's another useless subtitle.
Days of Future Past.
Yeah. They could have just called it X-Men Time Travel.
I think that's a worse title than Days of Future Past.
What about X-Men Turtles in Time? Would that be good?
X-Men The Secret of the Ooze.
Perfect.
Yeah, so I saw X-Men Days of Future Past, and I will declare it the best of the X-Men films. But I should also... I should specify that's not saying a whole lot because I don't think any of the X-Men movies are really that good. I think the original ones, the Bryan Singer ones, have not held up, especially Part 1, which I think is terrible.
Well, Part 1 looks really cheap.
It's a really cheap movie because back then studios were not confident enough to, you know, back comic book movies. So
everyone goes crazy over X2, and I'm not.
I remember really enjoying that. But I haven't watched it in years.
Yeah, like I enjoyed it when I saw it, but the more I think about it, it's one of those movies where I'm just like, that's probably not as good as I remember it being, basically. And then
that's how I feel. I haven't seen it again since the theater, but I just remember being like, meh, X-Men.
And then the less said about the Brett Ratner one, the better. And then I liked the what the fuck was it? First Class.
That was good.
I liked it for the setting, but the script in that is all over the fucking place. And anytime that movie focuses on like the teen mutants,
it's very like teen movie.
It's like anytime the movie's about like, you know, James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender, it's
that's
great.
Good stuff. Yeah.
And you know, like that opening with Michael Fassbender like hunting down Nazis, that's fantastic. The whole movie should have been
I would just watch a movie of that. Yeah.
Yeah, but then like it switches to this bullshit like look at the teen X-Men and like I don't even remember what the fuck they did.
Bolshevik?
They all have stupid powers. Like I'm really tall. I don't know. It's like shit that's not impressive.
That's not a good
like,
power.
I can sleep really long. Like I'm not impressed by this at all. And so so that movie's okay. And then this movie I really think is the best of all of them. But again, that's not saying a lot.
Is this a true sequel to First Class, or is it kind of like its own thing?
This is So obviously this is spoilers at this point, but the movie's been out for a while, so everyone's probably seen it by now. It's
except for me and Jeff.
Yeah, except for Jeff and Dave. But this movie's more like a reboot, basically, of the whole franchise, which I don't know if it's a good idea or not.
Well, we don't have enough of those.
Yeah.
So they kind of ripped off the Star Trek reboot, right, by using an alternate timeline to change everything that in the movies that happened before
Basically, the plot of this movie is it's the year 2035, and there are these giant robots. They're called Sentinels, and they're basically tracking down and killing all mutants. Mm-hmm. And so there's a few...
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah. There's a few surviving mutants, and they send Wolverine back to the 70s. So... Right off the bat, we're off to a great...
Is this Austin Powers?
Yeah, basically, yeah. So, they send Wolverine back to the 70s.
You said Sentinels. Did you mean Fembots?
No, yeah. No. They shoot the
Seminoles? Guns
at, yeah. Seminoles.
The Seminoles, yeah. Florida State.
Seminole fluid, that's what I was thinking.
Oh, wow. So, like, they're in the gutter.
So, the reason the Sentinels got created was because... there was this guy named Bolivar Trask, which is...
Well, those are two words. They're not. They're either things nor names.
Yeah, no one is named that except in this movie, and he's played by Peter Dinklage of...
Did you say Bolivar?
Bolivar is his first name.
Bolly.
Played by Peter Dinklage of Game of Thrones.
You've never read the Dickens novel, Bolivar?
Bolivar Twist.
So he created the Sentinels because he hates mutants, and... The movie doesn't really clarify why he hates mutants.
His name is Bolivar, that's why.
He just hates mutants.
Well.
So, basically, the whole plot is about sending Wolverine back in time to stop the Sentinels from being created and fucking up everything.
Why
does he
have to hate
that really tall Sentinel, or that really tall mutant, right?
Yeah, the one that his power is tallness.
Yeah.
making fun of vertically challenged people.
The reason to answer Jeff's question, the reason it had to be Wolverine is because people like Wolverine. Mm. There is literally no reason Wolverine should be in this movie. He serves no purpose.
Yeah, like, Wolverine's not the prime candidate for sending someone back.
Jubilee would be the obvious choice. Everyone's favorite.
What,
a Boy Scout meeting?
Yeah.
they clarify it by saying, like, oh, the trip back in time will damage someone's mind, but because Wolverine can heal, he can go back in time, but...
That's cute.
It'll hurt your bones if you go back in time.
But it's not even his body; it's his consciousness going back in time, basically. So, I don't think Wolverine's consciousness can heal like his body.
Wait, so
I think they kind of made that up for the movie.
He travels back and goes into the mind of 70s Wolverine.
Yeah, basically. But like Wolverine doesn't really age normally, so he looks the same. He's back in his 70s body, which looks the same.
Does he have the same haircut?
So he's just like, he's blowing a line of coke and out of nowhere.
Yeah,
he's just like, whoa!
He's like snorting coke out of a girl's asshole. Like,
he's at a roller derby.
Yeah. So,
what was that noise? Does Wolverine have his powers at that point? Because I thought he didn't get them.
No, he has the healing powers. He doesn't have the metal skeleton. He has the bone claws.
Okay.
Which is, it's awful. Like, it's really stupid in this movie. Like, his fucking bone claws come out of his hands, and it's like, this is dumb.
Do they bleed a lot?
No.
Oh, what the fuck? What? They just come out all nice and neat?
They just come out all nice and neat. Nice bone claws.
Oh, God.
Let me tell you something right now. This does not sound very good. I still want to see it, but none of what you've said sounds good at all.
I realize as I'm talking about it, it sounds like an awful movie, but it's an entertaining movie. It's fun. It has a stupid screenplay, but it's enjoyable. And like I said in my review, basically, like, even though this movie is good, it's time for Bryan Singer to leave this franchise.
Well,
I don't think that's a problem.
And not just because, you know, he allegedly kisses boys in his hot tub, but
or rapes them.
I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt.
The
but,
kissing, I think, is just A-okay.
Well, I said boys, so I'm implying they're underage.
Oh.
So,
yes, that's not good.
No,
never
it's
mind.
Not good.
Never
to
mind,
kiss.
Everybody. If there's any law enforcement listening to this, I didn't mean that.
And like, I don't think he should leave the franchise because of that. I think he should leave it because he's way too interested in his boring version of these characters. Like. And, like, Bryan Singer didn't create these X-Men characters, but these are his versions, and they're really fucking boring. Like, the end of this movie ends with basically everything is rebooted, and everyone who died is, like, back alive. Like, Cyclops is alive again, and, like, it ends with, like, Wolverine, he wakes up back in, you know, Xavier's school, and he sees all these, you know, characters from the other movies, And it's, you know, it's clearly intended to be like, oh, look who's back. But I was just like, I don't care.
Right.
I don't care about this boring version of Cyclops.
Does Jean Grey come back?
Yeah, she's back. Like, I don't fucking care about her and Wolverine's, like, weird obsession with her in these movies.
Does,
like,
Sookie come back?
Yeah, Sookie comes back and JWoww is back. They're all back.
Oh.
So.
Wow. I think we've crossed franchises here.
So basically, like, I think giving the franchise to Matthew Vaughn with First Class was a good step. And giving it back to Bryan Singer is like a step backwards. Like, we don't need Bryan Singer anymore.
Well, Bryan Singer is doing X-Men Apocalypse.
That's what they say, but I kind of think it's not going to happen just because of these.
Because he'll probably be in jail. But
yeah, he, you know, or on the lamb.
Literally on top of the lamb.
Yeah, he'll be riding a lamb to freedom.
That's his power. Yeah, he rides. He's the lamb whisperer.
He's lamb man.
So who dies at the end?
Hopefully everyone.
Everyone dies, but they come back to life, basically.
Oh, well, at least there's a lot of stakes.
Yeah.
It's like, a very weighty
that's the other
franchise.
Thing about this movie, like, it literally erases all the previous X-Men movies. So even if you liked all of the previous movies.
No, I like that, though. I don't like having to invest too much into anything ever.
Yeah, so
it's great.
Like, even if you were like, I love X2, this movie is like, well, fucking X2 never happened because of this movie.
Are there two Wolverines at the end, like Spock?
No.
At the end of Star Trek?
No. There's just one.
Live long and prosper.
There's one Wolverine, and he's a teacher, and he teaches history, because hilarious.
Yeah, that's good. Good stuff. Ripe.
I don't get it.
Because he's been through time. He's a time traveler. Get it?
We've all been through time. If you think about it.
We are all time travelers.
So anyway, X-Men Days of Future Past, it's a fun movie, but enough. Enough with Bryan Singer and his boring X-Men. Give it to someone else. And enough with fucking Hugh Jackman playing Wolverine, please.
Well, I think he even said that.
He did, but then recently he backpedaled and said, I'll come back for more. And it's like, stop. No more. I've had enough. He's been playing this character for 14 years. It's time to
gotten to the point where nobody wants him for anything else, really, because he's just...
And he would much rather, obviously, be, like, singing and dancing on stage. Like, that's kind of
don't tempt
like...
me.
And I...
Oh, you want to start and do a duet?
I like Hugh Jackman. I think he's a good actor, but enough.
But
Hugh
no,
Jackman
like,
Wolverine.
Theater is obviously his, like, first love, so yeah. I think he would much rather be doing theater.
Yeah, or, you know, Prisoners.
Because he's already made his money.
Prisoners 2, the unnecessary sequel.
Yeah, we need that.
Speaking of unnecessary... Well, wait, never mind.
This isn't a sequel, it's a reboot.
It's a prequel.
All right.
Right?
We moving on?
Yeah, we're moving on to Jeff's movie that he saw.
I saw Maleficent this week.
Was it magnificent?
It was not. I saw that tweet nonstop from everyone.
Yeah, some...
Maleficent is magnificent.
Was it malignant?
No, it was not a cancerous tumor.
Was it Maladroit, that Weezer album, which is terrible?
No, didn't that have, like, the dog jumping?
No, I don't remember.
No, was it Maelstrom?
No, it was not The Perfect Storm.
What other M words?
Malfeasance, that's what you keep calling it?
I keep referring to it as Malfeasance.
No, Maleficent was, in case you don't know, I don't know how you wouldn't, it's basically an alternative take on the story of Sleeping Beauty from...
Like a Kurt Cobain song?
No. No, there's no quiet verse, loud chorus in this. It's
you said alternative tape.
I know I did. Okay. I know I did. Let's get Kennedy in here. Let's get Kennedy and
John F. Kennedy.
No, the MTV VJ.
The MTV VJ.
Where's Matt Pinfield?
John F. Kennedy.
Let's get Matt Pinfield and Matt Pinhead in here.
Okay.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
We
I didn't mean to cut you off.
We are. This is the train wreck hour.
Yeah, I saw Maleficent. And it's an alternative take on the Sleeping Beauty story from the viewpoint of the villain in Sleeping Beauty, Maleficent.
And I've heard that they pretty much don't make her a villain in this, which I think is bullshit, I'll just
say. Right, and that's the problem. Well, that's a problem with this.
Yeah, one of many.
There's really no reason to mine your own creative property and change things the way that they did just to call it new.
Right.
Well, wait, is that their own creative property?
Their version, yeah.
Yeah, they're mining their own version. I don't even know that Maleficent is the name in the original fairy tale or folktale, whatever that was. But basically, there are several problems with this, but I'll talk about the good stuff first.
Fine, Jeff, be like that. All positive.
I was so against this, and then I saw the trailer when we went to see Godzilla, and... It looked pretty cool.
The trailer did nothing for me.
It
looked like that Alice in Wonderland Tim Burton version.
No, it's nothing like that.
That's what it looked like in the trailer.
That film let's talk about the way these two films look, okay? Alice in Wonderland literally looked like garbage on the screen. It literally looked like trash animated. This movie looks amazing.
Right.
Like, this looks like exactly how a fairy tale come to life should look. It's unbelievable looking. I didn't see it in 3D. I can't speak for that. But
nor should you.
Well, the tone of it reminded me of the Oz prequel with James Franco.
Yeah. Which also looked like garbage. Can we just... We're going to talk about that later.
Yeah,
like
I guess. Well, those three films we should talk about.
We'll get to that later, but let's Jeff...
get into malfeasance.
Yeah, let's talk about malfeasance.
Let's talk about Muffinificent.
All right.
Talk about muffins.
Yeah, Maleficent. It looks fantastic. Angelina Jolie is really good about 9/10 of the time in it. And I'm not a big Angelina Jolie fan.
No,
but
she's one of those actresses. I don't understand why she's such a big actress.
Because she's beautiful, I guess.
She
is like the number one reason.
She's beautiful, but
she's serviceable.
I can count
as far
like
as acting.
I can count all of her good performances on one hand, and that's mm-hmm. like it's like Girl Interrupted, and that's it. Like
yeah.
she's not. Like, I think of that fucking Alexander movie where she's, like, Alexander's mother, and she's doing this, like, Dracula accent. And it's like, why is she so popular? I don't get
it. Alexander.
Yeah, Alexander.
I don't get the appeal. I don't think she's a good actress or attractive.
Really? She's...
Well, in this movie, she's made to look sort of alien because she comes from another kingdom. Like, there are two kingdoms they set up. There's the kingdom of humans and then a kingdom of, like, fairies and... Like
yes.
mythical creatures, and the mythical creatures, that kingdom, they don't have a ruler. They just exist. They coexist peacefully with one another. But the humans, they have a king, and they're greedy, and it's very anti-human for whatever reason.
How dare they?
I forget the actor's name. He was the lead in District 9.
Charteau Copley yeah. is his name.
He plays the king in Maleficent, and he is... atrocious.
I don't find him attractive either.
No, no, he does have those kissable pillow lips, but other than that,
he's one of those. He's a weird actor. Like he was great in District 9, and mm-hmm. then everything else he's in, he's terrible. Like he's in Elysium, he's like the bad guy in that.
He is absolutely horrible.
And he's also in like the Old Boy remake, which I haven't seen, but I hear he's terrible in that.
He's
as
a
well.
Distraction above all. He is just really bad. But I said I was going to talk about the good stuff.
Yeah,
it looks great. The story isn't bad, and you like the Elle Fanning plays Sleeping Beauty. She's very likable.
I hear she's really good in
she's
this.
She's very good. She's not
good
in it enough, really. Angelina Jolie is good in it. Like I said, 9/10 of the time. I'm trying to think of what else is good.
Two things are great.
It's a very uneven film. The middle of the movie, like the second act, is great. That's the best.
Right.
That is, and there's a like showdown at the end, which is really great until the very end, where it looks like they ran out of money.
Right,
and that looks terrible. That's the only part that looks
terrible.
How did
Disney run?
I have no idea. It looks like just poorly edited.
So bear with me, but does the retelling of the story rework it so that Maleficent has to do like? She's sacrificing something, and in doing that, becomes the evil gets
no.
misrepresented as the evil
no.
person.
No, she actually
makes a turn,
makes a choice, and is evil for a good portion of her life.
Because
and there's a reason for it. I don't want. Should I just say it? I mean,
it's fine. You can spoil Magnificent.
Okay, the character, the king, when he's a boy. He meets Maleficent as a young girl, and they forge, like, a friendship, and they're kind of lovers. When the boy grows up, and the current king is dying, he says he wants Maleficent destroyed. And...
it's kind of like, I spit on your grave, basically.
This character, who already has a relationship with Maleficent, goes into her kingdom, and they finally meet again after years of estrangement, and they
bump uglies?
I guess it's implied. I mean, it's a children's movie.
Yeah.
And what he drugs her and steals her wings.
Yes, yeah, so it's like I
so
spit on your grave.
It's pretty much he basically rapes her without raping her.
Yeah,
like that's what they're implying.
Like I spit on your grave.
Yeah.
Just say it, Jeff. Just say this
I,
is like
I
spit on your grave.
It's exactly like I spit on your
there
grave.
There you go. Thanks, everyone. I got what
so,
I wanted.
So that is what turns
he stole
her evil.
Her wings.
He drugs her and cuts her wings off, and she's anguished and.
What does he do with her wings?
He puts them in a display case, literally.
Really? What
yeah.
a dick.
And they come back to life at the end of the movie.
This is sounding horrible.
It's Here's the thing. Like, it's not great. It's just okay. But the entire time I was watching it, it was defying me to like it. Like, I wanted to like it so much, but then it kept throwing shit at my mouth.
But you were like, staying in it? Like, you
I was in it. Yeah, okay. I never pulled out.
Would you say it's...
What's matter, guys?
Would you say it's basically like it's overproduced? Like, it's like Disney was like, you got to do this and this and
yes,
this.
Yes, it seems like there were points in the movie where things had to happen just because that's how they happen in Sleeping Beauty, and they just rush to get there.
Right.
This all sounds like Wicked.
It's very much like Wicked.
I've read a lot of reviews that say basically this is just like they just took the plot of Wicked and added a bunch of shit.
Another reason I say this is just okay is there is absolutely no reason for this film to exist. Like, there's
the sign of any great movie.
Yeah, like it's just an okay film. It's not bad. You could do worse, as Chris likes to say.
Yeah, that's my ringing endorsement. You can do a lot worse than Magnificent.
Yeah, so that's my take on Maleficent. If you have any questions? Any questions, guys?
I'm just saying it adds to the list of these unnecessary children's prequels.
Yeah,
like Oz, which was. Yeah, or I forget what it was called at this
point. It was called Oz the Great and the Powerful.
Oh, that reminds me. I saw a trailer. Well, it was a teaser.
For Cinderella, right?
Yes, it was a glass slipper just spinning, a giant glass slipper, and it said coming March of 2015.
Directed by Kenneth Branagh.
What did he direct?
He was in
Wild Wild West.
He's the great Shakespearean actor, and also he was in Wild Wild West. But he directed...
he was also Frankenstein. Frankenstein.
He directed Frankenstein. He directed the Hamlet, the Hamlet that's completely true.
He's a lot of fun. I like Kenneth Branagh.
I love him. He's great. But he also directed Thor.
The Mel Gibson Hamlet?
No. He directed the one that's literally the entire text, so it's like 4 hours long.
Nice.
It's good. It's a good movie.
Yeah, he's a serious.
He's a hardcore Shakespearean actor, but he also does shit movies sometimes, like Wild Wild West.
You got to pay for that pool.
Yeah.
So what the hell is the Cinderella about?
I don't know. It's.
I'm sure it'll have lots of battles because all these movies have to have a big Lord of the Rings.
Oh, that's
battles.
Another thing. The trailer for Maleficent depicted a battle. That happened in like the first 15 minutes, of the movie.
Like,
and it's not really a battle.
Like, yeah, this movie looked,
it was just a standoff, is all that was.
This movie looked to me just like Snow White and the Huntsman. That movie again, just like, which is like, that's not a Disney movie.
Well,
but
that's another film that looks like trash.
It's that same concept of like taking these fairy tales and like I'm gonna coin a phrase here, Lord of the Ringsing them.
Yeah.
Basically, they say like. Lord of the Rings was a big hit.
You're giving them a ring job.
Yeah,
like,
basically.
They're epifying them somehow. Like, they're attempting to turn them into epics.
Right.
Or not.
Like, you don't need fucking...
I just coined epify.
I like it.
I like mine better. My really wordy Lord of the Ringsing.
I like them both. But what they're... A lot of what they're doing is...
unnecessary?
Well, it's entirely unnecessary. Like, Disney is mining... Specifically Disney. They're mining their own back catalog. Right. And they don't need to.
They're
already relevant.
On one level, it's kind of like genius because like they don't have to put any work into it. It's just like we have this catalog.
Oh, they have
it. It's not even the work. They don't have to buy property.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
So I'm sure we'll get more. Like, there's going to be like, you know, the live action Aladdin, where Aladdin is a fucking knight or something.
I know for a fact that they're doing the Cinderella one.
Right.
There's a plan to do Pete's Dragon. I don't know why.
God. I don't know either.
They're doing a Geppetto movie where Geppetto's a
Night Stalker. You're lying to me. He's Richard Speck?
Yeah.
Is that Richard Ramirez?
Richard Ramirez is the Night Stalker.
It's a prequel.
Richard Speck killed the nurses.
Tree.
Oh, perfect. That was close.
They're both serial killers. So
Disney has, I think, around 60 animated features, and that's just animated features in their catalog. That doesn't include... all the live-action shit.
I'm waiting for the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang remake myself.
Oh, I can't wait for that. What about Bedknobs and Broomsticks?
Yes, I used to love that when I was a kid.
At least remake the stuff that was shitty.
Yeah,
like, that's what I would...
Yeah, what they did... I don't know if you even knew this came out. Saving Mr. Banks? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I saw it.
How was that? Did that just make you want to watch Mary Poppins?
That's a...
Is that all that did?
That's a mom movie, but it's not terrible. It's an enjoyable movie, but it's a movie that your mom loves. Like, did you see that's my mom impression.
Oh.
Did you see Saving Mr. Banks?
Well, apparently it's totally not true.
They totally botch like what really basically the movie is accurate until the ending. Like the ending of the movie makes it look like her name was P.L. Travers, the woman who wrote the Mary Poppins books. The ending makes it look like she's okay with the adaptation.
Yeah.
But in real life, she hated it. And, like, she went to the premiere and she fucking...
The movie, she's at the end of the movie, she's at the premiere and she's crying, and it's like, oh, she's crying because she's happy. But in real life, she saw the movie and cried because she hated it so much.
So Disney takes...
How could you hate that?
Well, and the movie presents her, she's really, like, crotchety, basically. She's really a mean...
She has a large crotch?
Yeah, she's a large crotch, and she's a mean person, basically, so...
Disney takes her her story, botches a movie of it, and ruins it for her, but then just makes a movie of her life, and ruins lies that about, for
yeah.
her.
Disney is basically...
totally whitewashed her.
It's a cold... calculated machine.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like, that movie isn't great, but, like, Tom Hanks
and Walt Disney loves Jews in that movie, too.
Tom Hanks isn't very enjoyable in that as Walt Disney. Yeah, and there's no... Not once does he reveal his secret anti-Semitism that he had in real life.
He was a hell of a guy, that Walt. We hardly knew ye.
Were there any of those other... I'm trying to think. You brought up...
Snow White and the Huntsman?
No, Alice in Wonderland, which is
the Tim Burton now, which they're making a sequel to.
Because it made it like $1 billion worldwide.
It was a huge hit.
But that movie, I know that everybody rushed out to see it when it first came out, right. But I dare you to find anybody to say something positive about that movie. I don't think anybody actually liked it. It's horrible.
I don't know.
It was visually bad, too.
It was, yes, visually, it looked like diarrhea. Like, their brand... She lands in Wonderland and looks up at the sky, and it's like a brown. The sky's brown? What's happening?
Sounds magical to me.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
But they should... I'm trying to think of a movie that they should go back and redo, but I'm having trouble.
Like a classic fairy tale movie?
Yeah, or just one of their classics that didn't really hit. Like The Black Cauldron, maybe?
No,
like
that should never... That should be locked away.
Because it's not good. Right? Is that what you're saying?
It is terrible.
Yeah, so remake it because you own that property and make it good.
I don't know.
Or maybe like The Sword and the Stone do something.
Well, that's
kind of
good, though. I like that. I know.
I mean, I don't remember. I mean, I loved it as a kid. I don't know if it holds up. I don't know. The Aristocats. They can remake that live action.
It's like,
yeah, it's like, please. Can we edit that out in case anybody gets fucking ideas?
The live action Aristocats.
How many kids accidentally watched that Aristocrats movie? The Aristocrats.
Boy, what a hilarious movie that was.
Oh, it was awful.
The same joke over and over again.
Now it's rich. I like when they explain why it's funny. Yeah. I like that's a sign of a good joke when you explain why it's funny.
All right, we're going to take a break because Moon Man's flagging me down again, and we'll come back with some more exciting
movie.
And
when we come back, we're going to explain why the first half of the show was really funny.
Hey, smokers, you stink!
Where am I?
Dave, you've been in a coma for 35 years.
Where are my cigarettes?
This is the future, Dave. We don't have cigarettes anymore. We have e-cigarettes.
Do they come in a variety of flavors? Like mint, fruit, desserts, and tobacco?
Yes. Yes, they do.
Are they cheaper?
They are cheaper.
Is it a cleaner way to smoke?
Yes, yes it is.
Where do I get these dream cigarettes from?
Well, Dave, you get these futuristic cigarettes from www.tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke from Smokeless Image.
You still have tiny URLs in the future?
We haven't come up with a better system. Also, there are no more elephants in the future.
Here's Johnny! It's part of the summer series, the Cut Print Film Stephen King podcast.
What a beautiful singing voice you have, Chris.
Playing all your video games.
I didn't realize it was this song she did.
Yeah. This is something else.
I always get her and Lord confused with each other.
I like Lana Del Rey sometimes.
Yeah, I do too.
I like, I don't know. I got nothing.
All right. Let's fade this down. Chris, everybody's asleep.
Terror got that's horns good. On your head.
All right.
So we're 35 years in the future.
That's right. Here we are. We're all wearing our T-Fury shirts.
It's the days of future.
And we're smoking e-cigarettes. I'm smoking four of them.
So here in the future, Ant-Man has a director. But back there, where you're living...
Yeah, back in your time...
It doesn't.
Ant-Man has no one right now.
That's right. But so, in 2035, we all know that Tommy Wiseau directed the Ant-Man movie.
And it won all the Oscars. Mm-hmm. Literally every Oscar went to Ant-Man.
So let's talk about Ant-Man. They changed them to the Ant-Man Awards.
Yeah. Yeah. The first annual Ant-Man Awards were held in...
Can we talk about this movie?
So yeah, let's jump back. So Ant-Man, there's trouble in Marvel-land, as I call it.
Last Friday, we got the announcement.
So yeah, last Friday, right before the big holiday weekend, basically Edgar Wright, the magnificent director. I'm going to say he's magnificent.
He's good.
He's a fantastic director. There's a video someone posted...
He's maleficent.
Yes.
There's a video someone posted that like highlights his great directing style, and I think it's a really good video. But
is that about his like comedic shots?
Yeah, basically like how, and it's great because it gives examples from other comedies, like how like a movie like The Heat with Sandra Bullock, like it shows her driving
with
to
Robert De Niro.
Yeah,
that was a good
hilarious film Heat with Robert De Niro,
a lot of laughs.
And Al Pacino. But yeah, so he's a really good director, and he's been working on Ant-Man for years. Like back before Marvel movies got as big as they are now.
Right.
He was developing Ant-Man. This was like a passion project for Edgar Wright.
Right. I've been really excited about this too.
Right, like normally I would not give a shit about the Ant-Man movie, but the fact that it was Edgar Wright doing it, I was like, this is gonna be cool.
There were early rumblings that Simon Pegg was going to be Ant-Man for
right.
a while.
And then
it turned out to be Paul Rudd, and I wasn't even... Like, I was still like, oh, I could see that vision.
Yeah, I mean, I like Paul Rudd, so like it'd be cool to see Paul Rudd in an action movie directed by Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
So this is Edgar Wright's passion project, and then Friday before the big holiday weekend, Marvel put out this press release that Edgar Wright is gone. He's walking from the movie.
Yeah.
And so it was a huge thing. Everyone was like, what the fuck? What happened with Ant-Man? And then, this weekend, Adam McKay, who directed Anchorman and other movies.
What else did he do?
He did the other guys, basically Will Ferrell comedies.
Mm.
The other guys is with Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell.
That is one big pile of shit.
I was actually not excited about that.
I don't hate Adam McKay. I don't think he has when you compare him to Edgar Wright, who has an amazing visual style, Adam McKay's directing is sort of...
directionless.
It's like it's pedestrian. Like he's sort of a point and shoot director. It's nothing great.
Like a Kevin Smith.
But yeah, but at the same time, Adam McKay, you can tell he cares.
Oh God,
about...
what if they get Kevin Smith?
Oh, don't even give them ideas.
Sure, he would love to.
But I mean, you can tell Adam McKay gives a shit about his movies. Even if they're not be great directed movies, but he cares about them.
Yeah.
So Adam McKay was like the front runner, and
he was running really fast.
He was running really well, and they sort of everyone sort
he
of
had a bit in his mouth. And they were tugging hard.
Well, according to Slash Film, he had the job and already finished.
Yeah,
the
basically
movie.
Everyone sort of jumped the gun. And they were just like, Adam McKay's directing Ant-Man, and then like in less than 24 hours, it was like, never mind, that's not happening. Yeah. And he walked.
His tweet was like, I have other projects.
Right. So basically, things stand now where no one is directing Ant-Man. It'll probably be the fucking Zombieland guy, Ruben Fleischer, I think is his name.
He was the first name that I brought up immediately. I started playing a game with you two, texting you names of people, and didn't get any response, but
no,
the first person I
just could not be bothered to care about this movie.
Because we secretly hate you, Dave.
We were texting one another, being like, can you believe this guy?
LOL, Dave's an idiot, I said to Jeff.
But immediately after it broke, I was like, the guy, I didn't even know his name, I just thought of Zombieland, and I was like, the guy who directed that would be a good fit for this, because
he can kind of mimic what Edgar Wright does.
Right.
Because he does it in Zombieland, where like the rules pop up on the screen.
Yeah.
It does like...
It's very meta.
And it's... Also,
self-aware.
He also directed the terrible Gangster Squad, which was atrocious.
Let's not talk about that. Yeah. But it would not... I could see Ant-Man being good if he directed it. Right. Still, like, if it was just a direct Edgar Wright clone.
Right.
But I don't understand why Adam McKay would walk from this, because there's got to be a ton of money on the other end of that deal.
So this is all, you know, rumors and conjecture. We don't have all the answers, but... Basically, what happened is basically Marvel kept giving Edgar Wright notes for the screenplay. Because Marvel, everyone gives Marvel, this is my personal opinion, but I think everyone gives Marvel more credit than they deserve. Everyone thinks like, and again, I'm talking about the movies, which is completely different than the comics. Right. So everyone thinks like Marvel films are these great, you know, like artistic movies, and they're not.
No.
They're movies.
They're a lot of fun.
They're fun, but they're movies to make money. And I hate to keep going back to this, but like, if you compare a Marvel movie to like the Nolan Batman films, the Nolan Batman films are films that are, for all intents and purposes, they're like an art form, those movies. Where you compare them to Marvel movies, which are fun, entertaining movies, but they have no. I'm not going to say heart. What's the word I'm looking for?
They don't have any value outside of being comic
book movies. Right, exactly. It's like that. It's like if you're a comic fan and you like action movies and you're looking for an okay way to spend 2 hours of the movies, that's what these Marvel movies are great for that. But they're not, they're not like...
The Nolan movies are really good movies that happen to have Batman.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Nolan Batman movies are like fantastic movies that just have to be comic book movies.
Yeah.
The Marvel movies are comic book movies that just happen to be good.
I would...
I agree with that.
I would agree with that. Aside from Winter Soldier, I would say that's a great like action spy movie that happens to have Captain America and One-Armed Willie in it.
My personal opinion, I would even lump that in with those movies, because even though that movie is definitely far and above their other Marvel movies, there's a lot of bullshit that you can tell Marvel was like, put this in here. Put all these exploding aircraft carriers in here. That's my impression of everyone at Marvel. Whoa!
So do you think they wanted exploding aircraft carriers in Ant-Man?
From what
I don't see the difficulty in being like, oh, hi, Tony Stark. Oh, it's me, Ant-Man. Oh, hi. Like,
all right, where's that Tesseract at?
I think
Where is it, Tony?
I think like just dropping in stuff like that to connect it.
I think the difficulty lies in that, like Edgar Wright and the guy who wrote the screenplay with Joe Cornish, who directed Attack the Block.
He's a hen, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's a Cornish hen. Delicious on Thanksgiving if you don't want the full turkey.
That it was a drastically different vision than what Marvel had.
What I'm saying is basically, while it would be easy to just be like, Ant-Man, have you seen Tony Stark lately? He's over there.
That doesn't seem sloppy or forced at all.
Well, it'd be easy.
Welcome to S.H.I.E.L.D.
While it'd be cheap and easy to put that in your movie, Edgar Wright is kind of a guy who has, like, principles. And he doesn't want to force that into his
two of them. He has a vice principal.
Yeah, vice principal and the regular principal.
Yeah, the principal is your pal as well. Because you were trying to figure out how to spell it.
It took a minute to take a drink there. But so
we were all relying on you to say something.
I thought you guys were going to tell more hilarious principal jokes. I was waiting for more school-themed jokes.
Let me crack open this entire tome of principal jokes.
Take out your fucking grade school joke book there and tell me more about the lunch lady. So what I'm saying is Edgar Wright has, like, he has an ideal. He's like, I want to make this Ant-Man movie the way I want to make it. And Marvel's like, fuck you. Make it the way we want to make it. Because Marvel is it's very micromanaged. Like, they have this, the Uber producer, his name is Kevin Feige, I guess that's how you pronounce it. And he's very hands-on. Like, he overproduces all these movies, and they want all these movies to be like puzzle pieces. They fit in with each other.
Yeah.
And so Edgar Wright basically was like, I don't want to fucking do that. And they said, you're fired, more or less.
But I feel like the whole appeal of Ant-Man was that it would have been a fringe movie. You know what I mean? And they still need those.
Absolutely. And like every movie website I go to and every message board I look at, everyone's like, I have no interest in Ant-Man anymore. Like they sort of like fucked themselves like with this.
They did and they didn't, because it will still make a shitload of money.
Yeah. And now a lot of, I was just going to say a lot of people are talking about Ant-Man now, but I kind of think it's the same people that were talking about it before.
A part of me, like, wonders if this is, like, some weird publicity stunt, and, like, at the last minute, they're going to be like, Edgar Wright's back, and now everyone's like, we got to see Ant-Man now because of this.
It feels like one of those things where they're too, like, what's the word I'm looking for? To go back would almost hurt their power, you know, yeah. Their credibility. Yeah. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. But
it's just like it's a shitty turn of events for them, where it's like in the span of like a week they lost two directors more or less.
If another director walks on it, then they have a huge problem.
Yeah, I think what we're dealing with is a shitty script.
Right.
Above all, that's what it sounds like.
Well, yeah, again, like going back to why Edgar Wright basically.
Why would all these directors be acting as though this movie is cancerous?
Like, yeah, the main reason Edgar Wright walked from this movie is he and Joe Cornish, the hen, wrote this film.
Yeah.
Gets me every time.
And Marvel kept giving them notes, and they kept, you know, saying, all right, we'll change the script because you want us to.
Add more S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, yeah. Add more Nick Fury and stuff like that. And even though they kept even though they kept doing that, Marvel wasn't happy. So Marvel basically took the script and gave it to, like, in-house writers. And in-house writers rewrote the entire script, and it's apparently terrible.
Yeah.
And they did this without even asking Edgar Wright, and he was like, I have no interest in doing this movie anymore. So the script is apparently atrocious for this film.
My guess is, I'm still pulling for David Gordon Green to direct it.
I know you keep saying that, but I think that would be awful.
You think so?
He loved
Joe.
I do, but he has no action chops. Joe is a very laid back.
Well, didn't he direct, or maybe, was that Michael Gondry? Pineapple what? Express.
He did direct Pineapple Express.
There's some action in that movie.
I personally don't like Pineapple Express.
I mean, I'm not like saying it's fucking amazing.
Anytime David Gordon Green directs those like stoner Seth Rogen comedies, I don't like them. Like he directed Your Highness, which is atrocious. That movie is terrible.
Can I quote it with my friends while we're playing beer pong?
As long as you hang up the rules for beer pong poster,
long as you smoke the cross joint or the cross joint. Whatever.
As long as you break out your Boondock Saints DVD and we can all gather around.
I have several of them, so
several.
I won't be missing any of them.
Paul Rudd and David Gordon Green are very good friends, and I know he's going to be, at this point, panicking, or has to be. I mean, I'm speculating that Paul Rudd's not having a good time right now.
Because his arch-nemesis, Raul Pud, has got him held captive.
Raul Pud?
Yeah, Raul Pud.
That hurts.
Welcome back, everybody.
Because, I mean, this was Paul Rudd's in to fucking this
mainstream
multi-billion-dollar franchise, and now it's crumbling under his feet. So, I don't know if Ruben Fleischer's going to be the one to do it.
I mean, I forget who said it earlier, but no matter what they do, the movie's still going to make money because it's a Marvel movie. So,
and we'll still be there to see it.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And a lot of people online are like, they should just cancel Ant-Man. Like, Marvel has spent so much money on this movie. There's no way they're going to cancel it at this point.
Yeah, I retweeted some independent theater out in LA that said something like, how about we just forget about Ant-Man and instead fund 1,000 indie films?
Which is a great idea.
Great idea.
And it'll never happen.
You literally sound like a sophomore in college solving all the world's problems at a diner.
What if we just gave peace a chance?
Ant-Man, more like Shant-Man.
I like that you went with shant instead of can't, because that's what a college sophomore would say.
Because can't would be much easier, but shant is better.
All right. Have
we shan't be doing that movie. Did you get it?
I'd like to give it back to you.
All right.
You were fine until you said that.
Yeah. Well, that was the whole point. So, you got to bury everything into the ground.
Yeah.
So anyway, Ant-Man, 10 out of 10. I'm reviewing it because we're in the future, remember? Beginning of this bit said we were in the future.
I read somewhere that James Gunn might direct it.
Yeah. So for some reason, everyone online, certain film websites were like, what if, I think James Gunn is going to direct this, and James Gunn lost his mind and said, you're fucking full of shit. That's not going to happen.
Well, that's what happens when you post a news story with a question as the headline.
Yeah.
It's nonsense.
Yeah, you shouldn't post news stories that are just like conjecture. Like, what if James Gunn directed this? Like, no, that's not going to happen.
Mm. Well, a similar thing happened with Jurassic Park this week.
Yeah,
where
it did.
Someone posted, will there be dino blended seed DNA dinosaurs in this movie? Question mark.
Apparently there will.
That person who posted that was me. Oh wait, no, someone else did it, but I also posted a thing about it, but no one read it.
Everyone's favorite boob site.
Yeah, JoeBlow.com.
Yeah, the good folks at JoeBlow.com who have a section devoted to movie hotties.
And boobies of the week, yeah. I believe. So go ahead and check that out.
I'm still waiting for my boobies to be voted.
God knows.
My flabby chest.
That's one of the most popular links off of our site this week is the boobies of the week
link. It keeps getting clicked on.
Yeah.
So anyway, they reported what again about Jurassic Park?
So... I don't want to be like I posted this story too, but I did. So
no, you did, but
basically, like, there was an old Jurassic Park script for Jurassic Park 4
from years ago,
and it was written by William Monahan, who also wrote The Departed. And basically, the plot of this movie was crossbred dinosaurs, and there's a guy training these dinosaurs to be like fighters.
This sounds great already. Yeah. Keep going.
Hold on a second. So the news broke of, hey, this is what the movie might be, and you put it together yourself. This sounds like that.
I was
old
like, this sounds
because,
like, ain't it cool news back when they were relevant?
Ain't it cool? Question mark.
Ain't it cool news back when they weren't a fucking atrocious site that hasn't been updated since 1998?
Yeah, their site was still the same back then when they posted.
Yeah, it was literally the same site. back when they were relevant, they posted a script review of this old Jurassic Park 4. Yeah,
Jurassic Parfait. It's a delicious Sunday at Friendly's.
Jurassic Park for the course.
Jurassic Park 4. It's a very hard shot.
So, they posted this Jurassic Park 4
Caddy,
script.
What type of iron should I use for this shot?
A woodwind.
I was like, go ahead, Chris.
So much time has been spent.
I was very committed to that joke.
Jurassic Park joke.
Jurassic Park 4.
Par for the course, Jurassic Park.
Okay.
Good night, folks.
Anyway, fuck all my bullshit. Joe Blow posted this article that said, Jurassic World. Fuck this segment in the face.
No, wait. So the crazy part about this story is then the director, to put all these rumors to rest, comes out and confirms them all.
Well, first he...
Not all of them, but yeah, for the most part, he basically said, you know...
First he lays the smackdown on JoeBlow.com for posting these spoilers, and then he confirms the spoilers and gives extra spoilers.
And posting them on a website that frequently posts on rumors.
Yeah.
So it just all made no sense.
At the same time, like, I kind of appreciate that, like, he, like, cause a lot of directors, they're like, they're really, they play things close to the chest.
I like that,
though. I like that too, but I also like that he got out in front of this. Like, this, his name is, Colin Trevorrow. He directed, Safety Not Guaranteed, which I think is a really good movie. He got out in front of these rumors, cause, like, even though he confirmed a lot of the rumors, he also shot down some of them. Like, because the original rumor was like there were good guys versus bad guys, bad guy dinosaurs. I'm really fucking drunk, everyone. There were good guy versus bad guy dinosaurs, and he came out and he's just like, no, that's not in this movie. So, like, he shot down a lot of things that sounded stupid about the movie, which I kind of appreciate. Like, he could have just been like, I'm not going to comment at all. So.
Yeah, sometimes I don't get the secrecy thing, but now we live in a world where we're so caught up with this stuff that it basically ruins it for you.
I mean, yeah. Like, I think we all grew up in a time where, like, movie news, we got it from, like, Entertainment Weekly. Yeah. Like, it was, like, secret sort of thing.
Or you would get it from, like, Fangoria magazine.
Exactly.
Or, like, nerdy magazines that you had to buy, like for $5 a pop.
Like, there was a time when... You didn't know about a movie until you saw the trailer. You'd be like, right. Oh, they're making that. I had no idea that movie was coming out. Now it's like every movie that comes out, it's like you know about it before it even starts filming. And
that was like Unbreakable. It was like midnight and the trailer came on Access Hollywood and I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
A lot of the magic has been taken away from movies in that sense where it's like...
Magic's not real, Chris.
Oh. No. I beg to differ. So I appreciate
magic.
I appreciate secrecy, but I also appreciate that Colin Trevorrow got out in front of this rumor and sort of set things straight.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, a lot of this sounds stupid, you know, like the crossbred dinosaurs, that sounds stupid, but
it sounds brain dead.
But like I still sort of have like faith, but I have like I think this movie could be good.
It's a realization hit me that when he was like, the movie takes place 21 years after the first Jurassic Park. And I was like, it takes place in the future? And then I went,
nope.
Oh my God. It's been 21 years since Jurassic Park came out.
Like in this interview, he points out, like, there's a scene in the movie where, like, there's a dinosaur in the background and there's a kid on his cell phone who doesn't give a shit. And I think that's really funny. Like,
I do too.
Because that's like a perfect like commentary on the times we live in. Because that's exactly what would happen. Like, some snot-nosed fucking kid would go to Jurassic World and there'd be like a T-Rex in the background. And he'd be like, whatever. And he'd be on his fucking phone.
Is that not crazy that like 20 years ago, just seeing dinosaurs in a movie was amazing and magical? And now you know, like, as a, like, I'm just guessing, but that would happen. A kid would be on a cell phone.
Exactly.
Ignoring his surroundings.
He'd be playing Flappy Bird or the fuck it's called.
And then the way he explained good guy dinosaurs by saying, like, well, the T-Rex saves them at the end of Jurassic Park. Like, that doesn't make him a good guy. Like, he just accidentally...
It just happens to have happened.
Yeah, in the original Jurassic Park, the T-Rex is terrifying, but he also is, like, a hero. Like, you root for him. Like, at the end, he fucking saves them from the raptors. And he also, he eats the lawyer, which everyone loves.
Was he the savior of our city?
He was.
No, he was not.
King of the monsters, savior of our city.
That's in the second one, The Lost World.
So, Chris went to the movies recently.
Oh, I forgot we were doing this.
Chris Rage! I will find him!
And he got a little angry.
Yeah. For those of you who have started with this episode, let me start off by saying I'm sorry. But
Chris
also,
Rage! I will find him! I will find him! I will find him! I will find him!
I'm sorry, we got... I think the space bar got stuck.
I got a lot of anger in me. So, I went and saw X-Men, as I said earlier, and I was in the theater. Also, I went and saw this movie at 10 o'clock in the morning.
That's when everybody should see movies.
All the children.
And it was packed. The theater was packed at 10 o'clock in the morning.
That's good for X-Men.
Yeah, so I was in the theater, and every...
Good for Bryan Singer.
Every fucking... I feel like I shouldn't explain this, but because everyone knows, but I'll give some context. So... Movies these days, they don't just show trailers. For the first, like, 20 minutes, it's commercials.
Yeah. It's just Coca-Cola.
Right. It's commercials for everything.
The seats turn into weeds, and that fucking annoying commercial where...
I don't think I saw that one.
You know what I'm talking about? Where
weeds?
It's like the gets all green around the seats, and then all of a sudden they're, like, out in a mystical world, and it's just a Coca-Cola commercial.
I've never saw that, but that sounds horrifying.
You've all seen it.
So, every ad is... So the problem I have is every ad I see at the movie is geared towards tweens, to use a term. And, like, so this ad I saw was basically these two groups of tweens. There's the girl group and the guy group, kind of like Grease, but in tweens form. And I mean the movie Grease, not the
summer loving.
Yeah, not the fucking ancient times of Grease. So
not the country.
Yeah.
It wasn't Troy.
Not the Greek legends of old. So, and like, they're, like, it's the guy group, and there's the leader guy, and the girl group, and there's the leader girl. And they're young, and they're at an amusement park or a fucking, whatever, Six Flags. And they're fucking, they're eye flirting.
They're fucking?
Yeah, they're fucking. So they're thinking about fucking, basically. These tweens, and they're giving each other the fuck eye, as I call it. And they're like, I want to fuck you. I want to fuck you, but we're young. We don't know what that means. And then, like, they're on the fucking roller coaster, and they're fucking holding hands, and it's like...
You're so bitter.
Isn't this fucking romantic? And then it's like, Coca-Cola. Like, what the fuck does that have to do with Coca-Cola? I am so sick of these fucking ads geared towards these young people, and it's like, fall in love at the fucking Six Flags. Stop it! Stop it! You're gonna get old, and you're gonna forget that fucking girl, and you're gonna find someone else. Anyone you fall in love with when you're a tween is gonna fucking forget you. And eventually, you're gonna die alone in your fucking hospice bed. And the nurse is gonna be there, and your family's gonna be crying, and they're all gonna be like, why can't he hear me? And you can't hear them because you're doped the fuck up. And then you die. And you know what you're thinking about when you're dying? I'll tell you. It's not Coca-Cola and it's not that tween girl you met at Six Flags. So enough. Enough with the tween ads. I will find him.
They're just trying to sell soda.
Dave, could you hand me an ice cold Coca-Cola, please? All this talk has got me thirsty.
Let's watch Cut Print Film Weekly movie recommendations.
So you thought there was going to be more, but that's it. It just fades out.
Thanks, David Bowie, for recording that for us.
Yeah, so he came in. He was great.
He was great. It's a class act.
He really was. He was wearing a unitard, which was odd.
He can do whatever he wants.
That's true.
All right, so, Chris, now that you're done raging, you got any recommendations for us?
I do. Tying in with my Soundtrack Sunday that I posted today, and by today I mean yesterday, because this won't be posted till Monday.
Right.
The film I'm recommending is The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford.
Such a good movie.
Fantastic movie. Directed by Andrew Dominik. It's a, I could see why someone wouldn't like this movie, because it's slow and it goes at its own pace, but it's an excellent
movie. Well, it's a month long. It takes a month to watch it.
Yeah, it's 7,000 hours long, but it's a great movie. It's fantastic. It tells the story of Jesse James, obviously, and this young man named Robert Ford, played by Casey Affleck, who's, like, obsessed with Jesse James. Like,
that was the first time I saw Casey Affleck
in a movie. He's so good in this movie. Yeah. Like, he's phenomenal. And, like, he's obsessed with Jesse James. Like, it's like hero worship.
Mm-hmm.
And so he follows Jesse James around. He becomes part of Jesse James' gang. And eventually he kills Jesse James, which I don't think is a spoiler, because the title is called The Assassination of Jesse James.
Yes.
So, and it's a great character movie. Like, every character in this movie is interesting and different.
Literally. Every character. That's why it's so long. It takes a lot of time to build up, like, each character's relationship to Jesse James.
Absolutely, yeah. And
it's
like
such a good movie.
And Brad Pitt is fantastic in this. He plays Jesse James in this, like, sort of aloof, dangerous manner. Like, you can see why someone would like Jesse James, but he's also, like, a lunatic. Like, he's mentally unhinged.
And he's very detached from everyone else.
Right. Like, you can
even his own brother.
Like, you can, like, almost take him out of the movie. Like,
right.
He's not there the whole time. He's just kind of standing.
It's like a mythical portrayal,
yeah,
basically.
Exactly.
It's like he's larger than life.
Yeah, you're basically watching other characters react to being in Jesse James' life.
Right.
It's so good.
It's a great... And, like, I remember when it came out, a lot of people did not see it. And it sort of got buried and, like... And there was a lot of, like, studio interference with this movie. Like, they wanted to cut it down because it's a long
movie.
It's,
like, 3 hours long. Right?
Yeah, and they were like, oh, you need to cut it down. Basically, like, Andrew Dominik, when he signed up for this movie, the studio thought they were going to get, like, this action Western Jesse James movie. And he was like, that's not what I want to make. It's based on a novel by Ron Hansen, which is, it's similar to the movie, basically. And so he was like, I'm making this movie. And Brad Pitt was, like, a huge, like, supporter of Andrew Dominik's vision. So, like, he fought for the movie, basically. Like, he had, like, Brad Pitt had it put in his contract that the title could not be cut down. So that's why it has this long, like, wordy title.
But that works for
the
movie.
Great. It's a great movie. It's fantastic.
Casey Affleck's awesome, man.
He is so good in this movie.
He's very impressive.
I said in my post that it's one of the best movies of the 21st century, and I stand by that. I think this is one of the best movies of the 20th. It was made in 2007, so it's one of the best movies of the 21st century.
All right, who's next?
I'll go next.
All right, hang on a second.
All right. That wasn't too loud. Was that Chris? I saw some tweens holding hands over there.
My screens are deeper.
I'm recommending this movie entirely for Jeff to watch because he's a hater of Woody Allen.
Oh, fine, Dave. Fine. Leave me out of it.
There's no way you haven't seen this movie, but it's a Woody Allen movie unlike any other Woody Allen movie, and it's also my favorite Woody Allen movie, which is a strange thing to say because I love his movies, but I also love the movie's Match Point.
Okay.
Have you seen it, Chris?
I love Match Point.
Yeah. It's nothing like...
I'm a big tennis fan, so go ahead.
Tennis features into this movie.
Yes.
I'm kidding. I hate tennis.
I mean, it's not like... It's not a fucking movie about tennis.
Oh.
But it's just the symbolism.
This is one of the darkest movies Woody Allen has ever made.
It is like an anti-morality tale. That's like how I would explain it.
I won't say heavily, but it's partially inspired by
Crime and Punishment, Dostoevsky novel. So it's got that sort of those themes. Yeah.
Who's in it? Any Hollywood A-listers?
Jonathan
That's what I like.
Jonathan Rhys Meyers plays the main character.
Well, I wouldn't call him a Hollywood A-lister.
Well, Scarlett Johansson is in it.
Who's that?
She also goes by ScarJo.
Ah, now I know who we're talking about.
She was in Eight-Legged Freaks.
Oh.
Who plays his wife? She's in something else.
Oh, I forget her name. I'll look it up. Keep talking.
Chris will look that up. But this is a movie about, like, if you were a scumbag, like, the anxiety of being that way, like, cheating on your wife, and, like, the culmination of how that would come into the worst-case scenario ever. That's what this movie's about.
Kind of sounds like Closer.
Emily Mortimer.
It's like Closer.
Emily Mortimer plays the wife.
It will make you feel equally as terrible as Closer does.
It's like Closer, but it's a little better because Julia Roberts is not in it.
That's a good point.
What is she in? The Newsroom?
Who, Julia Roberts?
No, Emily.
Emily Mortimer is in The Newsroom.
Yeah. Okay. That's who it is. She plays his wife. It's a very good movie. And
it's excellent.
The ending is awesome. The film is totally worth watching.
Like, even though the main character is like an asshole,
you still kind of root for
him. He's an asshole.
What?
Like, it's actually an asshole.
No,
is an animated movie.
He's a talking asshole.
Is this Assy McGee on Cartoon Network?
Even though he's a talking asshole, you find yourself rooting for him.
Yeah, you're like, you want him to succeed at being horrible.
And you sort of feel bad for yourself. Yeah. You're like, oh, I feel bad for rooting for this guy, but
That's a tall order.
It's one of Woody Allen's best movies, and he's made like 800 movies, so that's saying something.
It's also Jonathan Rhys Meyers' best movie, and
I like him.
He had a chance after this movie to like be the next Tom Hardy or whatever.
And instead, he did the TV Dracula, which was canceled. I'm so drunk.
Well, he got bogged down in playing Henry Tudor for like 7 years.
Oh, was he in the Tudors?
Yeah, he was in the Tudors.
He was Henry VIII, the skinny, sexy Henry VIII.
Yeah. Wasn't he like a bloated mess with gout? Didn't he have gout?
He was a fat, bearded man in real life, but in the show, he's a sexy, blonde guy.
Yeah, just
with
helping
terrific
people
wet abs.
He's just helping people with their math homework.
Wet abs!
Took me a while to get that joke out.
Ooh.
I'm still shocked by wet abs. I don't know what that means.
Oh, boy. Well, this has been a hell of an episode. My weekly recommendation, I'm getting a little strange here.
You would.
This is not really a movie.
What? Well, then shut the fuck up.
My recommendation is a 15-minute bicycle safety video.
Get out! Shut your laptop and go upstairs.
Is this a short film?
Well, essentially, yes.
Okay.
It's a 15-minute...
I'll allow it.
Bicycle safety film from 1963, and it's narrated by this guy, Edward Everett Horton.
Does he hear who?
No, but close. He did do the narration for Fractured Fairy Tales, which was featured prominently in
Rocky and Bullwinkle. Yeah. Right.
So he's got like this sinister voice, and basically this is a bicycle safety video for children featuring...
This is the weirdest
The title
is weirder than Pieces.
Yeah, the title of this thing is called One Got Fat.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, it gets weirder.
It tells the...
Is it on YouTube? Like, how can
you can watch this on YouTube for free. It tells the tale of 9 kids that are going out for a picnic and they're riding their bikes. Here's something very strange, though. For some reason, all of the children are wearing monkey masks and they have monkey tails.
What's happening?
And as they ride to their destination, each one of them gets killed on the way in several gruesome ways.
Is it like a how to not get killed on your bicycle
video? It's bicycle safety. Okay. It's about how to use proper turn signals, don't sit on your friend's handlebars. Those two actually fall down a manhole together and die.
When you post the podcast link tomorrow, please post the link for this video.
I will. I'll put it on our Facebook.
Just embed it right in there.
Okay.
We'll watch it.
Yeah, embed it in the link and also put it on the Facebook.
So you can watch this on YouTube for free. It's called One Got Fat.
Why is it called that?
Because they all packed a lunch, and only one of them got to eat all the lunches.
I like
because
how
they all died, but one.
I love that this fucking friend just goes on eating his lunch while all his friends die.
He just can't give a fuck.
He doesn't care. Nope. Well, he's a monkey, so.
That's true. Yeah, and the monkey masks are horrifying. Horrifying.
Why are they wearing monkey masks?
I have no
idea.
Is
it to, like, distance you from the horror that kids are dying?
Yeah, these kids, they all die.
Well, we finally did it.
Well, it was we fought a hard battle. Chris almost had a heart attack.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I raged out a little too much there.
I almost didn't make it here. It's been a hell of a show.
This has been a weird episode. So.
All the ants were manned.
Yes. Every ant had a man within.
All the X's were menned.
All the mouths were efficient.
Yeah, I got nothing else.
Nope.
Yeah, next week we'll be talking about Edge of Tomorrow, which is on track to be one of the best movies of the summer.
It's
if you
so goddamn good. We're going to get into it next week.
We're all going to get all up
we're
in
gonna
Tom
Cruise.
We're going
to climb that mountain of Tom Cruise.
That's right. Climb his pecs.
A lot of people hate Tom Cruise, but
we don't.
We are not one of those people.
We're delusional.
Yes. I hear we're delusional and we love Tom Cruise.
So check us out at cutprintfilm.com for more fantastic content.
Yes.
And where else can you hear great podcasts?
Antifanboy.com.
That's true. You can. They talk about all sorts of things.
Or morelikeradio.com.
That's right. They're our parent network, if you will.
They're an apparent network.
They are apparently a network.
Yes. Word on the street.
Is.
Is. I was done talking. Oh, I was hoping someone else was finished.
So yeah, go to morelikeradio.com.
Come on. Come on.
And thank you, America.
Cutprintfilm.com.
Please go to cutprintfilm.com for more movie reviews, opinions, and original articles about the movies we love and hate. And be sure to subscribe to the Cut Print Film podcast on iTunes. I'm Moon Man, signing off until next time.